Their efforts abroad and our support at home keep America strong. That's from Paul and his family and the professionals at Western Stone Company, serving our listening area with quality service, reliability, and integrity. Call 303-823-6404. That's 303-823-6404. They're on the air because they care about our troops. Whether you're in automotive, sporting goods, hardware, health, wellness, electrical, electronics, construction, carpet cleaning, legal, or animal care, and offer exceptional customer service and provide quality services or goods, you're honest, reliable, and professional. If you have a business, we have the customers. Let us put you in touch with our loyal, supportive, and dedicated listeners today. They're waiting to hear from you. It's inexpensive. It's effective. Call KHNC at 1-800-205-6245.
Well, good morning, Dr. Chan, and so just a moment, we'll be on to a Skousen with the latest information from World Affairs Brief. And I think that some of this is going to touch on the possibility of an Israeli attack on Iran. I'm not certain. I haven't seen this week's World Affairs Brief, but Joel referred to that yesterday. And I mention this because we did two interviews this week with John Quirk, who spent over 25 years with the CIA, who has contacts with intelligence agencies and intelligence agents across the Middle East, and a fascinating guest. I had him last night at 8 o'clock, and I think at Tuesday at 4 o'clock. And those programs will be certainly posted on my website, RadioLiberty.com. Why am I mentioning this? Well, because, of course, he talks about Netanyahu, actually referring and alluding a number of times recently to the very real possibility of a unilateral attack on Iran, because they don't trust America. They think America is abandoning them, and they believe they cannot allow Iran to get a nuclear weapon. Well, it is my contention Iran already has nuclear weapons, and if they were attacked, they would use those weapons, first of all, for an EMP attack, electromagnetic pulse attack, on both Israel and the United States. Is this a reality? We don't know. It is only conjecture, but of course, actually, John alludes to that as a possibility. He's one of the few people I've met and have talked to who will admit that Iran may already have nuclear weapons. And all this talk about, concern about Iran getting nuclear weapons is simply falderal. We may be on the verge of some terrible cataclysmic event. I hope and pray that's not. But at least consider it, make your plans accordingly. And if you have a chance, listen to the interviews on my website, RadioLiberty.com, with John Quirk this week. Well worthwhile. And now to Andrew Skousen. Andrew, good morning, and what is World Affairs Brief going to be covering today?
Good morning, Dr. Stan. It's nice to be with you again. The main story in this week's World Affairs Brief is about the sabotage of the debt crisis battle. Joel says, I said at the beginning of all this that Boehner would give it away in the end, but I never envisioned the results would be this bad. Conservatives lost much in this fight to stop Obamacare and hold the line on deficit spending. In fact, they lost the war. By allowing Boehner and other quote-unquote moderate, read compromising, Republicans to sabotage the debate, take the blame without rebuttal, and walk away with absolutely nothing to show for the fight, they have essentially lost the ability to launch another battle in January. They set the stage for the media to demand there will never be another threat of a government shutdown, even though there never was a shutdown and default was never a real threat. This is similar to what the Republicans did in sabotaging the impeachment process of Bill Clinton. It was the Republican leadership that hobbled and restricted the attack on Clinton, not the Democrats, according to prosecutor David Shippers. Republicans purposely made a folly of the impeachment process so as to poison the public's toleration for impeachment ever again. By only concentrating on his sexual problems and evading more serious issues like the technology transfers to China, the case appeared weak and embarrassed the whole process. No one will even dare to suggest impeachment now because they made a laughingstock of it all. The New York Times summarized a typical media reaction this week to the Republicans' bill giving in to the debt crisis. Quote, congressional Republicans conceded defeat on Wednesday in their bitter budget fight with President Obama over the new health care law as the House and Senate approved last-minute legislation ending a disruptive 16-day government shutdown and extending federal borrowing power to avert a financial default with potentially worldwide economic repercussions, end quote. Joel says the pro-government media is rejoicing that the two major attacks on increased government power have successfully been defeated, probably forever. The defunding of Obamacare and the threat against the continuing increase of the debt limit. There was no threat of default with potential worldwide economic repercussions, as the Times claimed. But continuing down the path we are now on is going to lead to eventual default, as Peter Schiff said this week, quote, default is inevitable anyway, but we're not going to default because we don't raise the debt ceiling. We're going to default because we do raise the debt ceiling, end quote. Unfortunately, the political waters of conservative opposition to both have been forever poisoned by the way this was fought. House Speaker John Boehner had the audacity to claim, this is via the New York Times article again, quote, we fought the good fight, said Speaker John A. Boehner of Ohio, who has struggled to control the conservative faction in the House in an interview with a Cincinnati radio station. We just didn't win, end quote. Joel says, they got the part about controlling the conservative faction right, but they missed the fact that Boehner sabotaged the entire fight by what he didn't say as the battle progressed. He agreed to not criticize the administration. He thus gave up his only weapon in the propaganda war. Not once did the Republican leadership effectively broadcast to the world how the Obama administration set out to purposely and unnecessarily shut down aspects of government parks, memorials, and lands that were simply unnecessary and which saved no money, simply to make life difficult. If they had only used the kind of list I published last week of egregious examples in the shutdown, they could have directed the public's anger back toward Obama. Although they would have had to pick live interviews so the media could not bury their charges by selective omission. Instead, they let the media get away with a constant barrage of half-truths and lies, including these. One, that the government was quote-unquote shutting down. Fully 80 to 85% of the government was operational, but they shut down hundreds of jobs to make people feel the bite. Second, that the government, come Thursday, quote, wasn't going to be able to pay its obligations, end quote. Nonsense. Most of what the government spends is on unconstitutional obligations like food stamps and international welfare, foreign aid. They certainly were prepared to shut down food stamps, the most misused form of welfare in existence, unless you count the aid to dependent children scam, which induces minority unwed women to keep having children in order to collect more money. They also said, third, that by Thursday the government would begin defaulting on its debt obligations. Some said that only some of this debt would be paid by the whole...
Hold that thought. We're going to a break. We'll be back in a moment with Andrew Skousen.
With winter approaching, let's all keep an extra special eye out for our senior citizens. Check on them on a regular basis, especially when the weather is cold. Make sure they have what they need. Someday we'll all be in that position, and wouldn't you like to have someone watch out for you? That's from Brush Housing Authority, reminding listeners for housing programs, call 970-845-5046. That's 970-845-5046. Brush Housing Authority, wishing everyone a great and safe fall and upcoming winter season.
Hi, I'm Eric Cederstrom for the Patriot Trading Group and AllAmericanGold.com. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank all of the listeners who've supported us throughout the years and helped keep the radio stations going. I've had the chance to meet many of you face-to-face and enjoyed every minute of it. For two decades, I've worked hard to keep our service fast and our prices low, and will strive to keep going for another two. Patriot Trading Group and AllAmericanGold.com have no commission salespeople, no free reports, and no complaints. Nobody here will call you when you sit down for dinner. There really is a difference. Call 1-800-951-0592 and find out for yourself. We look forward to serving you with years of experience. We know what we are doing, and will make recommendations based on your personal situation. Call 1-800-951-0592, and you'll be treated with honesty and respect. You have my word on it. I'm Eric Cederstrom, CEO, shipping clerk, and janitor.
Article 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated. And no warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the places to be searched and the persons or things to be seized.
Well, Dr. Stan, Andrew Skousen from World Affairs Brief. Andrew, go right ahead.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. We're talking about why the government shutdown process has undermined the Republicans' possibilities of ever bringing this fight to the table again. During the process of the battle, Moody's bond rating service got the nod from the powers that be to begin making public threats that it might downgrade the U.S. credit rating, all just to give the media more ammunition to justify condemning the Republicans. Now, of course, the media is crowing to the world that Republicans lost and are now in trouble at the polls and risk being unelected. Even if that were true, and it is not, Republicans should have realized that this was their one and only chance to say enough. The government has got to stop spending beyond its means, and we are simply not going to ever authorize another debt increase, so get used to it. Instead, they yielded and got no significant concessions from Obama in return. Joel says, I believe they have now lost their final chance to defund Obamacare. Few are ever going to have the stomach to try and fight any of this again. This capitulation makes people feel like it was all for nothing and severely discourages the Tea Party from ever demanding that it be done again, which is precisely what Boehner intended by backing down. To perform this sabotage, he even had to break his rule pledge that he would never bring a bill up for a vote if the majority of Republicans didn't support it. Joel says, I always knew that this was a convenient claim to endear himself to conservatives, but which would be scuttled as soon as it got in the way of his pro-government agenda. The New York Times saw it too. They said this, quote, most House Republicans opposed the bill, but 87 voted to support it. The breakdown showed that Republican leaders were willing to violate their informal rule against advancing bills that do not have majority Republican support in order to end the shutdown. All 198 Democrats voting supported the measure. End quote. Granted, the administration holds most of the cards when they can decide how to use the money they have left. This should not be allowed. If the Constitution gives Congress the control over the purse, then they should be able to dictate how the remaining money be spent. And the president should have to follow that or face impeachment. That is why it was so important to poison the impeachment process years earlier, as we described previously. In the aftermath of the crisis, the media and the president are now in lockstep, not only heaping scorn and derision on the conservatives, but making their case that this should never happen again. Mr. Obama, speaking shortly after the Senate vote, praised Congress, but he said he hoped the damaging standoff would not be repeated. We've got to get out of the habit of governing by crisis, he said. Joel says, I defy anyone to tell me how you can simply refuse to govern by crisis when you've only kicked the can down the road and not solved the growing debt problem. Is it going to simply go away by saying so? No. But what all of this is meant to do is say, whatever you do, Congress, another government shutdown is off limits. That forces Congress to keep spending and makes it even less likely that anyone will have the courage to face the public with that threat again. As I said before, the debt ceiling limit is the most effective balanced budget law we have, and we've just witnessed its demise. David Horsey, the arch-liberal cartoonist for the LA Times, couldn't help but draw up a cartoon of Senator Ted Cruz saying, we won the opportunity to do it all again in January. Of course, the purpose of that message was to make sure he wouldn't dare say that ever again. And to make sure his message got through, the Times gave Horsey the space to write it all out in words, just to make sure his derisive message got home. In the brief, Joel has highlighted each of the pejoratives that Horsey uses in his choice of words. Quote, At the last possible moment, the dysfunctional United States Congress voted to end the debilitating government shutdown and avoid a calamitous default on the government debt. It should have been a humiliating defeat for Texas Senator Ted Cruz and the other Tea Party Republicans who engineered this political debacle. But none of them are showing the slightest sign of remorse. Joel inserts, now he drives home the point about the next battle. That raises a big question about what happens in January when another government shutdown will loom, and in February when the debt ceiling will need to be raised again, given the Tea Partiers' lack of repentance for the shenanigans that cost the U.S. economy $25 billion. The most likely answer is that we will very likely soon be going through the same reckless, costly brinkmanship again. Joel inserts, and here he quite willingly parrots the establishment answer as to how to make sure there is never another shutdown. Yield and allow more taxes. Continuing with a horsey quote, a lot of people, including President Obama, insist that it will be different next time. But for anything to be different, some sort of budget bargain will need to be reached before Christmas. Even without the Tea Party faction in the House Republican caucus, that would be a tough job. Democrats are going to want some new revenue to offset the deep budget cuts Republicans will demand. And new revenue means raising taxes, which for today's Republicans is the deepest heresy. Joel inserts, he got that last part right, but the liberals are working on conservatives to make sure they undermine that resolve too. Boehner played his wolf in sheep's clothing role perfectly, impressing conservatives about how firm he is in following through with their demands. Back to the horsey quote. Could Boehner pull that off again and still retain the speakership? Right now, the radicals are praising Boehner for sticking with them as long as he did and sticking it to the country in the process. End of the quote. Joel says, no, it was the administration that was sticking it to the country, and Boehner who stuck it to conservatives by giving up without any gain. I repeat, the process has now been so poisoned there won't be another threat of a government shutdown in January. Only the continual threats to shut things down if Republicans don't concede to raise more money, i.e. taxes. And there were even key payoffs in the compromise agreement for big spending cronies, one of which was Senator Mitch McConnell, who helped draft the compromise in the Senate. This according to CNBC. Quote, a number of earmarks were folded into the legislation to deliver unrelated funds to constituencies around the country. An Ohio River Dam project got a budget increase to $2.9 billion, a benefit to Republican Senator Mitch McConnell's home state of Kentucky. The family of Senator Frank Lautenberg, who passed away in June, was guaranteed a $174,000 death gratuity, the equivalent of a year's salary. Roll call listed the senator among Congress's 50 richest members in 2012. That's terrible. Colorado was pledged $450 million for rebuilding after floods that hit the Rocky Mountain foothills in September. Stephen Ellis, vice president of the federal budget watchdog Taxpayers for Common Sense, said of the earmarked spending, this will only increase voter cynicism about the process, if that is even possible. End of the quote. Well, Dr.
We have the finest politicians money can buy, and they have special pensions for themselves, special health care for themselves. They are a ruling elite, and we ought to stand up and say no. They should have everything. If they vote for Obamacare, they should be under Obamacare, but they're not going to. They're going to have a very, very special health care program that we pay for. They get subsidized haircuts. They get subsidized meals. The Congress is a ruling elite, the finest congressman money could buy. Go right ahead.
That's right, Dr. Stan. And I'm afraid we saw the results of that process this week as we saw the Republicans force their party into a cave-in on the last chance to help bring the country back into some kind of a fiscal solid state. Well, moving on to the next story here. Let me tackle the questions that you had about what's happening over there in the Middle East. It looked like John Kerry, the U.S. Secretary of State, pulled an interesting ploy recently. Our story says, what's Kerry up to with a new urgent peace talk? Secretary of State John Kerry and the U.N. Arab League envoy, Joel says, which are always yes-men to U.S. globalists, are saying that the Syrian opposition must set up a transitional government immediately and force Syria into peace talks. Joel asks, why this urgency just when Syria is settling in for the long process of decommissioning its chemical weapons? VOA News said this, quote, after talks Monday in London with Lakhdar Brahimi, Kerry said that Syrian President Bashar al-Assad has lost the legitimacy to be a cohesive force that could bring the people together. He called for a transition government in Syria to permit the possibility of peace, saying it was imperative to get the so-called Geneva II conference organized by a mid-November target the United Nations has set. Brahimi agreed, saying a precise date for the peace talks must be set very soon, end quote. Joel says, I suspect it has everything to do with Israel getting ready to strike Iran. The Washington Times reported this, quote, talks in Geneva on Iran's nuclear program are triggering fears within U.S. intelligence agencies that Israel is hardening its stance on Iran and could conduct a military attack to stave off what the Jewish state believes is a delaying tactic for Tehran to build time to build nuclear weapons. The clearest indicator of growing Israeli concerns, according to defense officials, is the recent large-scale Israeli Air Force drill Tuesday in the northern part of the country. The exercises along the northern border and over the Mediterranean were considered unusually large. An Israeli defense source told Israel's Walla news outlet, changes have recently occurred in the Middle East. The IDF, the Israeli Defense Force, is preparing for those changes in both the closer and more distant perimeters. And yesterday's exercise was intended to signal the IDF's serious intention of dealing with those problems and thwarting them. Additionally, Israeli Air Forces conducted long-range fighter exercises last week involving in-flight refueling practice. The talks in Geneva have produced press reports that the Obama administration is preparing to ease sanctions on Iran following conciliatory statements by Iranian Prime Minister Hassan Rouhani at the UN last month. But Israel remains concerned that Geneva 2013 could become Munich 1938, Mr. Steinitz said, referring to the agreement appeasing Nazi Germany's seizure of Czech territory in the months before the outbreak of World War II, end quote. Joel says, except that Israel would be the aggressor this time, not Iran. Iran is playing it smart by softening its stance. Israel keeps saying that Iran isn't far from developing a nuclear weapon, but most experts disagree. Once they do a successful underground test, they are still at least a year away from building a workable warhead integrated onto a missile. Personally, Joel says, I think Iran is working on nuclear weapons, though I think they are farther behind than Israel claims. Any country in the gun sights of the globalists would be stupid not to pursue as many weapon systems as they can. Joel says, I'm not claiming the Iranian intentions are good, just that the globalists who run Israel and the U.S. are far more dangerous to the world and liberty. Well, that's the extent of the coverage here on the Iran case. Do you want to add anything to that, Dr. Stan, based on your...
No, other than I think there's a very real possibility that Netanyahu may launch a unilateral attack on Iran. And if they do, heaven help us. Go right ahead.
That's right. Well, tying in with this story is an update on the continuing growth of the Russian threat. The Russians have moved on from their even formidable Topol M missiles and are now developing a new version of a ICBM that has a faster boost phase, which is specifically meant to thwart the anti-missile system that has been placed in Europe. This is the report from Bill Gertz. Quote, the new RS-26 missile will be equipped with three multiple independently targetable reentry vehicles, or MIRVs. What is new is that the warheads are super high-speed vehicles, capable of maneuvering from missile interceptors. Ballistic missile warheads already entered the atmosphere many times the speed of sound. If they are claiming more speed, Joel says, the warheads have to be powered by rockets. This, back to the Bill Gertz quote, the maneuvering warheads are considered advanced technology that will increase the precision targeting of the missile system. The missile also reportedly will be equipped with a high-performance fuel that boosts acceleration shortly after launch, a feature useful for avoiding anti-missile interceptors. The Russians are advertising this as a system capable of defeating U.S. missile defenses in Europe. At the same time, the State Department is accepting Russia's claim that this is an ICBM and doesn't violate INF. It can't be both. End quote. Joel says, that's right. The Russians already pulled out of the INF, the Intermediate Nuclear Forces Treaty. So why does the U.S. continue to pretend they are in compliance and need to be held to its promises? A missile capable of this much acceleration has to be small enough to be an intermediate missile only. Full-size ballistic missiles for long range are much too large to have enough acceleration to avoid ABM interceptors. Once again, we have to ask, how can...
Hold that thought, Andrew. Hold the thought. We'll be back here in just a moment with Andrew Skousen of American Freedom Network.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on. Auto Works East Porsche, BMW, Audi, and Lafayette reminds listeners that many accidents are the result of drivers on their cell phones. Cell phone usage while driving is quickly becoming a serious problem on our roadways. Whether you're talking or texting, cell phone use is a major distraction. Do your part. Keep our streets safe. This community awareness message is brought to you by our friends at Auto Works East Porsche, BMW, Audi. Proud to be serving our community. That's Auto Works East Porsche, BMW, Audi at 1751 Panorama Point in Lafayette. Call 303-444-0488. POWMIA Radio is celebrating its 20th anniversary of broadcasting on KHNC. The show was born in a discussion between station owner and manager Don Wiedemann and veteran Darwin Rutz in September of 1993. The focus of the show was then, is now, and always will be the American prisoner of war and the missing in action. We want to thank the entire family of the American Freedom Network for their generous support of this program. Also, we could not be as successful without our sponsors, researchers, guests, and most of all, you, the loyal listeners. God bless, and thank you.
Did you call an 800 or an 888 number for a free report on gold and silver from people who claim they make no money? Did you get stuck with a bunch of foreign coins that you can't pronounce? Do you have rare coins that nobody can possibly value, or worse yet, rare coins from a sunken ship? Do you find out they really did make money on you? Are you getting called constantly by telemarketers to buy more or trade every day? Then most likely you've already lost a lot of money. Even if gold doubles or triples from here, you will still lose money. We can help. It's not too late to get your holdings into American products and still take advantage of major market moves. Call the Patriot Trading Group at 1-800-951-0592. No hassle, no hype, no bait and switch, and no complaints. After two decades of service, we're still here for you. Call 1-800-951-0592 or go to allamericangold.com and you'll be treated with honesty and respect. You have my word on it. I'm Eric Cederstrom, CEO, shipping clerk, and janitor.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution.
Well, Dr. Stan, our guest this morning, Andrew Skousen, from World Affairs Brief. Andrew, before we go on, would you like to tell our listeners how they could get in touch with your dad? They could subscribe to World Affairs Brief so they can be on the cutting edge of what's going on, and then how they can get your dad's books. Certainly on strategic relocation or building a secure home, because we're moving into very, very trying times in America, and certainly you need to be prepared. You need to know where you can live if you're living in a major city, and if you're not living in a major city, how to secure your own home where at least you'll have an element of security. Go right ahead.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. Yes, the best way to get the brief, or to sign up for the brief, is to log on to our website, worldaffairsbrief.com. That's all one word with an S on affairs, worldaffairsbrief.com. And there's a big button to initiate a fairly quick process to sign up for the
Can you speak up just a little louder? I don't know if I will a cell phone.
Yes, certainly. Thank you.
Right ahead.
So at worldaffairsbrief.com, all one word with an S on affairs, and there is a big icon there to help people start the easy process for signing up for the brief. It's a modest fee for a year's subscription, and you'll get all of Joel's analysis as well as access to our website with archives of all past briefs. And so you can find anything that Joel has analyzed in the past in the World Affairs Brief by signing up. Also on that website, you can find a link to our other website, joelskousen.com. And that website has a listing and introductions to all of Joel's books and material. Included on that website is, of course, our best-selling book, Strategic Relocation, North American Guide to Safe Places, which, as you mentioned, Dr. Stan, highlights some of the threats that are facing us and how to relocate to mitigate those risks against us. It looks like things will get so bad that it will be impossible just to move to get away from it all. But we highlight areas in the U.S. specifically, but also in Canada and the rest of North America, to try to help people find a way to keep those risks to themselves and their families down as low as possible. It will vary depending on where you are in the country. Once you have found a secure place, you will want to, or a strategic option to getting to a secure place in hard times, you will want to get one of our other two books, The Secure Home, which is a big 700-page book about everything about securing your house and making it viable in last days scenarios, including alternate energy sources. It has all of the information that Joel has, you know, developed over his past experience about trying to come up with more affordable ways of being prepared. If you just want to do a small-scale project, you should get our smaller book instead, the High Security Shelter, How to Implement a Multi-Purpose High Security Safe Room in Your Home. And that details with do-it-yourself plans and about how to turn a room in your house, preferably down in the basement, into a secure room that will protect you and your family and your stockpiles from earthquake and social unrest and provide a viable space for you through some pretty difficult times. So all of those books are also available through you at Radio Liberty, right, Dr. Stan?
By calling 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927, and we recommend the book. We recommend you get them, you read them, you begin making preparations. But because if Netanyahu were to actually determine he's going to have an independent strike on Iran, Iran has said that they will retaliate by attacking America, which doesn't make sense. I mean, how could Iran possibly retaliate against the mightiest nation in the world? And yet one EMP bomb over the middle part of the United States would simply destroy the infrastructure, the electronic infrastructure of America, and every effort has been made to block efforts to protect us from that sort of attack and to suppress information about its very real danger. Go right ahead.
Thank you. Well, I'd like to switch to a different story this week in the brief. There was a big scare going around between some of the alternative news outlets that banks were going to stop all money leaving the country by prohibiting international wire transfers, including a limit on total cash transactions to $50,000. This was spawned in part by a letter from Chase Manhattan Bank to many of their customers, which said, "Dear business customers, starting November 17, 2013, you will no longer be able to send international wire transfers. You will still be able to send domestic wires and receive both domestic and international wires, will cancel any international wire transfers, including recurring ones, you scheduled to be sent after this date. Your cash activity limit for these accounts will be $50,000 per statement cycle per account. Cash activity is the combined total of cash deposits made at branches, night drops, and ATMs, and cash withdrawals made at branches, including purchases of money orders and ATMs. These changes will help us more effectively manage the risks involved with these types of transactions, end quote. But it turns out that this is an overblown alarm. Everyone from ZeroHedge to Infowars.com were reporting on this story, but didn't detect that this was only referring to the free business checking account and not an across-the-board restriction. The letter basically says, if you want international wire transfers and do more than $50,000 of business each month, total debts and credits, you have to upgrade to a business account with a monthly fee. Here's Forbes on this issue. Quote, is J.P. Morgan Chase trying to control customers' money by preventing wire transfers and limiting withdrawals? That's the fear after a couple of reports from Drudge and ZeroHedge noted a change in the bank's withdrawal and wire transfer policies for small business checking accounts. Chase says the fear is unfounded. The reports are referring to a new $50,000 limit on monthly cash activity being imposed on small business checking accounts and a ban on outgoing international wire transfers on those accounts. The fear is that banks, and indirectly the federal government, have too much control over individuals' money which sits in the form of deposits. Limiting withdrawals and keeping people from sending money overseas feels like capital control, a government attempt to prevent money from flowing out of the country. Think Iceland and Cyprus. J.P. Morgan says that's not happening here. First, a quick visit to the bank's business banking website shows that international transfers are still available. You just have to pay for them. The bank's basic business account, Chase Total Business Checking, does not allow outgoing international wire transfers. It does allow them to come in, and cash activity is indeed limited to $50,000 per month. Cash activity means withdrawals and deposits. The account has a $10 monthly fee, which is waived with a $1,500 minimum daily balance. Need to withdraw or deposit more than $50,000? You can, but you'll have to pay more in monthly fees to do so, end quote. Joel says, those who have kept beating the drum of economic collapse keep looking for any ripple in the economy or bank policy to justify the continued failure of it to happen. Another example of this is the scare that went up this week over glitches.
Hold the thought, Andrew. We'll be back in just a moment.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on! POWMIA Radio is celebrating its 20th anniversary of broadcasting on KHNC. The show was born in a discussion between station owner and manager Don Wiedemann and veteran Darwin Rutz in September of 1993. The focus of the show was then, is now, and always will be the American prisoner of war and the missing in action. We want to thank the entire family of the American Freedom Network for their generous support of this program. Also, we could not be as successful without our sponsors, researchers, guests, and most of all, you, the loyal listeners. God bless, and thank you. El Dorado Mexican Grill encourages parents to add to your child's education with proper information about drug abuse, drug use, and addiction. Informed and understanding parental involvement does make a difference. Remember, if you're not talking to your kids about drugs and alcohol, doesn't it make you wonder who is? That's from El Dorado Mexican Grill. Community integrity is what keeps our area strong, and they're proud to be working with this station to keep the spirit going. That's El Dorado Mexican Grill at 18984 County Road 51 in LaSalle. Fonta's Pizza and Restaurant in Greeley salutes the men and women in uniform who are standing tall for our freedom. Let's remember them by continuing to donate blood for our returning injured military. Be a silent hero and give blood today. It could save a soldier. This is a reminder from Fonta's Pizza and Restaurant in Greeley. For great pizza and even better service, stop by 2400 8th Avenue or call 970-356-9200. That's 356-9200.
Well, Dr. Stan, and with this, Andrew Skousen's last segment of this morning's program. Go right ahead, Andrew.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. So at times here in the World Affairs Brief, we take the time to sort of look at some of the scary ideas that are being passed around on the Internet. We just talked about some of the not-so-scary news about J.P. Morgan Chase causing capital controls on bank accounts here in the U.S. It looks like that's been overblown recently on several websites. And Joel says, those who have kept beating the drum of economic collapse keep looking for any ripple in the economy or bank policy to justify the continued failure of it to happen. Another example of this is the scare that went up this week over glitches in the electronic benefit transfer funds, the EBT card system, where some people suddenly didn't have the money they expected from the government, whereas others had no limit on it. Michael Snyder of the Economic Collapse blog was one of those that looked a little too hard for signs of an impending collapse within this problem, he said. It may not happen this month or even this year, but food stamp riots are coming to America. In fact, we got a small preview of the coming food stamp riots this past weekend when a, quote, temporary system failure, end quote, caused food stamp cards to stop working in 17 U.S. states. Within hours, there were mini riots at Walmart and other retailers that rely heavily on food stamp users. So what would happen if food stamp benefits were cut off or reduced for an extended period of time? As you will see below, if Congress had not pushed through a deal, the USDA would have started cutting off food stamp benefits on November 1st, end quote. Joel said, these were not small riots, but panic buying and the greed mentality that welfare beneficiaries seem to acquire over time when they find, I'm getting something for nothing. Some were hearing rumors of a cutoff and ran to the store to use all of their funds. Others found that they had no limits on their cards and decided to buy out the store. One report said that Walmart workers phoned their corporate headquarters to ask how they should handle all the shoppers with unlimited government-funded spending limits or spending cards, and they were told to keep the registers ringing. That was either a tactic to ensure goodwill for the poor, who are Walmart's core base, or because they knew the government would make good on the mistake, at taxpayers' expense, of course. Continuing with the quote, considering the fact that 47 million Americans are on food stamps now and more than 100 million Americans are enrolled in at least one welfare program, Joel says these are bad statistics. He's not counting the overlap with the same people enrolled in more than one program. In at least one welfare program run by the federal government, that could have sparked massive rioting, end quote. Joel says, ultimately, I think he's right. There will be food riots if conservatives ever try to rein in government again or if Congress decides to cut benefits. As a final note on these stories, Joel says, I have often said that you cannot have hyperinflation unless there is an automatic injection mechanism whereby the government can give ever-increasing payments to people in order for them to keep on rising the prices and causing a downward spiral. Otherwise, you have stagflation where people can no longer afford to buy. The increasing availability of welfare programs, coupled with the easy distribution through debit cards like the EBT cards, makes such a system of hyperinflation possible in the future. However, it must be kept in mind that the powers that be have been very stingy, even with the cost of living allowance, COLA, increases to Social Security payments, knowing that they have to continually rein in inflation lest it start to rise rapidly. So unless we see signs of them loosening up on the manipulated CPI and recognizing real inflation, I don't expect to see hyperinflation or a danger of the dollar collapsing. Moving on here to see if we can get a little bit of the next story in before the end of the break of this section, I guess. There is some claims about missing nuclear weapons made this week. Joel says, I appreciate the work InfoWars and Prison Planet do to act as watchdogs against the ongoing conspiracy to take down liberty, but occasionally they do draw wrong conclusions based upon bogus insider sources who tell them things that aren't true. Here's a case in point. The claim by a quote-unquote insider that two top nuclear commanders were released over missing nuclear weapons and that there is an upcoming nuclear false flag attack on U.S. soil to justify attacking Iran. Anthony Gucciardi reported this from InfoWars, quote, top Nuke commanders Navy Vice Admiral Tim Giardina and Major General Michael Terry terminated following exclusive high-level military intelligence over secret nuclear warheads transfer, end quote. Joel says, well, there are several reasons why this is bogus. First, there is zero corroboration from any of my military sources that any unauthorized transfer has occurred or that any nukes have gone missing. Yes, there were nuclear weapons placed aboard a B-52 bomber a few years ago that ended up in Barksdale Air Force Base by mistake. And that's been the closest to a quote-unquote lost nuke. But it never was lost. Someone just forgot to unload it before it took off for its next mission. Heads rolled over that one. Alex Jones admitted that his source has gone silent about more of the details. That's one of the reasons I just don't trust people who claim to be insider sources. With all the pervasive CIA and NSA spying, nobody can get away with leaking anything of a serious magnitude. Yet the net abounds with bogus leakers always trying to get conservatives whipped up about the sky is falling. I suspect that this quote-unquote source went silent to make it appear as if he had to, but he'll surface again just like the bogus source that claims to have a steady stream of information coming out of Homeland Security. Second, Gucciardi first revealed this story on September 3rd about the source saying nukes had gone missing and flown to South Carolina. That was a convenient destination so that he and others could link it wrongly to supposed statements the same day by Senator Lindsey Graham warning about a nuclear attack on South Carolina. What Graham announced was that if we don't go to war with Syria, South Carolina will be attacked. Graham specifically mentioned he was talking about a hypothetical dirty bomb being brought into Charleston Harbor. The two were not related at all. Even the notorious KGB disinfo outfit EU Times Sorsha Fall got into the act by declaring Obama oust top officers after nuke explodes in ocean instead of Charleston. That was a wild piece of disinformation which shows how eager the KGB and GRU is about fomenting anything in the U.S. to cause unrest, even falsifying conspiracy and parading it before naive conservatives. Thirdly, these two commanders, Kerry and Giardina, were relieved of duty for personal misconduct, one over something alcohol-related and the other for using fake gambling chips at a casino, not for allowing nukes to go missing. Well, it looks like that's what you're going to get to. You'll have to get the brief to that.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of the Green Herb.
All of God's people have a ministry, and it's a trick of our enemy to keep God's people sick and worn out to hinder their ability to minister. We are often judgmental toward people who are addicted to booze, cigarettes, and drugs, but we at the Green Herb have found that most of God's people are unknowingly addicted to the two most addictive products in America, sugar and soda pop. If you have a sickness or disease, or if you're just tired a lot, the Green Herb has an herbal product that is formulated just for you, and it's just $15.95. Come by the Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB, that's 888-765-4372, or go to our website, www.thegreenherb.com, and be sure to listen to the Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
Great Plains Power has been providing reliable electrical power systems in the Rocky Mountain area since 1992. Our systems rely on the sun to help make you self-reliant for your power needs. Solar energy can be scaled to fit any situation, from complete power independence to backup power for the short term. Our expertise focuses on standalone power, but we have extensive experience with utility interactive systems as well. Custom tailored capabilities as modest as emergency lighting all the way to commercial scale power. Great Plains Power is a full service company. We service everything we sell. We provide and design turnkey packages, custom design system, and parts for do-it-yourself. With more than 20 years of specialized experience at your disposal, let us know what your power concerns or goals are. Reach us by phone or the internet. Call 303-239-9963. That's 303-239-9963. Or go to greatplainssolar.com.
Well, Dan Hector at the American Freedom Network, and as we sit comfortably in our homes here, are living the good life in Israel today, why people are getting their gas masks. Up until about 6 weeks ago, 40% of the Israelis didn't have gas masks. Now literally everyone has one. Certainly they're preparing the civil defense cellars and bunkers for the coming war. In Israel, they know that a war is coming. There are between 100 and 200,000 sophisticated missiles pointed at Israel. Some people say 200,000, some people say 100,000. It doesn't matter. These are not simply missiles you lob. These are sophisticated missiles, unlike anything that's been used on Israel before. And Israel knows a war is coming. And Israel no longer trusts America to back them up. And they are considering a unilateral attack on Iran and on Hezbollah. Ladies and gentlemen, that could flare up a major confrontation in the Middle East. And this will have a profound impact on what's going on in America. And yet, of course, so what they did is they focused our attention on this phony of crisis. There was never a problem with default. Certainly only about, we only owe foreigners about $5 trillion. That's what they have in treasury bonds. The rest of it is held by the Federal Reserve, by Social Security, and by domestic organizations, which we could work a deal out with. There was never a possibility of a default. There was never a possibility of martial law. It was all hype to distract you from the very real possibility that a war is coming in the Middle East. Well, we hope you'll listen to our programs regularly. We hope you'll listen to our other programs. They're available at my website, radioliberty.com, on the Internet, certainly on shortwave, on KU satellite. You can even get our afternoon programs on telephone if you have unlimited minutes. Go to our website, radioliberty.com, where you could listen to our programs live 4 hours a day. It's in the archived 24 hours a day. Keep abreast of what's happening. Get our book, Brotherhood of Darkness, to understand that behind everything going on are powerful spiritual forces. For although we live in a visible and tangible world, there is an invisible and intangible world out there, because we're involved in the spiritual battle being played out on a political, ideological, and cultural battlefield.